Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning,
Rashad. Oh, they got me. I don't care. I'm doing it again anyway. Y'all know my style. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad.
That is awesome. That is awesome. My name is Pastor Rashad Cunningham. I am the pastor here at Church on the Rock. We thank you for joining us on Friend Day. This is amazing, and I want to let you know a little something about Church on the Rock. When we say Friend Day or when we invite you in, we're going to treat you like family. For those of you who aren't familiar with my home, if you're a friend, I might clean up the house, but if you're family, just come on in and make yourself comfortable. This is who we are. What you see this morning is exactly who we are. We are thankful that you're here. We're not putting on a show. We're not changing anything about what we do. We want you to see who we are, and we are blessed that God has brought you here to serve with us this morning. So we're going to get right into this scripture. We're going to get right into what we're doing, and I'm excited right now. I'm excited to see all these faces and see some things that are going on that we know that God has been a blessing in. So I just kind of want to catch you up to speed to where we are. We are in our Look, Love, Learn, and Live year-long series of where we're just looking at our core values and our process of discipleship. So here in the first quarter, we're doing look. Last month, we looked at God. We said we want to have God's perspective in everything we do before we go out and start looking for others. This month, we're going to be looking inward at people within the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you'll see how this all ties around with the Friend Day here as we get through the scripture. So I just kind of want to remind people where we were last week. We were in Habakkuk 2:4. I want to read that real quick because I just want to give you this little nugget here. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith." And we kind of landed right there that the righteous will live by faith. Those who are in right standing with God will live by faith. Well, in the New Testament, that is quoted three times. Once in Romans, once in Galatians, and once in Hebrews. So let me give you this real quick. If we jump over to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says this. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." Next verse. And then he says, "For in it the righteousness, the right standing of God in the gospel is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So when Paul quotes it in Romans, he's talking about the right standing of God. In its context, he's speaking about the righteous part of that statement. Now we're going to jump to Galatians real quick. And in Galatians, this is the book we're going to be in today. But Paul says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them." Keep going. He says, he goes on to say, "But the righteous shall live by faith." What ends up happening there is this. In Galatians, it's about the shall live part. So in Romans, you have the righteous. In Galatians, you have the shall live part. And in Hebrews right here, he says, "For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." Keep going. And then he says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith." And then goes on to describe what faith is. So if you're taking notes on this piece right here, when you look at the righteous shall live by faith, in Romans, you see the righteous part of that statement. In Galatians, the book we're going to be in, you see the shall live part of that statement. And in Hebrews, you see the by faith part of that statement. So whenever you come across a Bible thumper and you want to kind of crush them, give them that right there, all right? Be like, "Hey, I bet you didn't know this," okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to be in Galatians 6:1 because we're talking about the shall live part today and what it looks like to give and take each other's burdens, to give and take each other in fellowship, and that's where we're going to be today. So Galatians 6:1 starts off like this. "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted." That is the only verse we're preaching on today. We'll support it with the scriptures. So we're going to start off with that first word right there, brethren. I'm using a theme for my point saying, if we're honest. So you can write down, if we're honest, and I'm going to tell you what we should be if we're honest. If we're honest, we should be siblings. If we're honest, we should be siblings. Now, some of you don't know me, but those who do know, I come from a large family. My mother had me and my sister Marquita. My biological father had an older sister named Keisha, and I have another sister named Anye and Isaiah. I'm just going to count these out right here. And then my father who raised me has a son named Tony, and then we adopted my brother Andre, my sister Bianca, my sister Rena, my little brother Red Pop, BB, Reese Cup, Twinkie, and Malik. Stop talking about the names of my family, all right? That's how we get down, all right? But what's funny is this. We come from different aspects of life. We come from different backgrounds. My brother Andre is actually from 23 different foster homes before he came into our family. And what happens is, in the midst of all of that, we have one common ground in that household where we see each other as brothers and sisters. So like when Paul says brethren, now he's talking to the church of Galatia, which is a region of churches, right? So he says brethren, he's not talking about people his mama kicked out. That'd be a lot of people. Like all of y'all, my brothers and sisters, matter of fact, because we're predominantly white, I'll say brother of another mother of another color, or I'll say sister of another mister, right? However, that's what we're looking at here is a family, is a church family. So when we look at that word brethren, that's where we want to start. If we're honest, we should be siblings. And I'm talking to the church first. Some of you may be in here and you're not believers yet, and we're going to get to that. But first and foremost, I'm talking to those who are Christians, those who are believers in Christ. Why? Because how can we talk to family and friends that we invite to church and tell them to come be a part of something when we can't even treat each other as siblings ourselves? Right? If I'm on the outside looking in and I see all kinds of turmoil and things going on and y'all can't even get along inside the church, why do I want to join that family? Why do I want to be a part of that? So we start there. If we're being honest, we should be siblings. That should frame this whole thing. He opens up and he says, brethren. In other words, regardless of what's going on, because in the context here, he's fighting against people who are trying to keep works and earn their salvation. And he's saying, look, brothers. In other words, I care about you. When I'm talking to you, I speak to you as somebody I care about. Mama Lisa posted on Facebook, she was like, this is my other son, right? And I'm not her real son, but in the faith, I'm her son. I call everybody in here mama something, don't I? Right? Because we're family. So when I look at that, brothers really opened up. Let's go back to Galatians 5 real quick. Let me show you what it does. In Galatians 5, 6, as he's building up to this chapter, and remember, this is an epistle. This is a letter, meaning it didn't have chapter titles, and it didn't have chapter names, and it wasn't split apart when it was written to the original audience. It just flowed through. So as he's building up to where he calls you brothers, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything, but faith working in love. In other words, back then there was a split in the church. There were those who were Jews who felt you had to be circumcised, and then there were those who were not circumcised that were the Gentiles. There was a split in the church because they had differences on opinion on how that looked. Paul said, because of Christ, in Christ, the circumcision doesn't matter. Neither does the uncircumcised. The same way in this church, in Christ, the Republicans don't matter. Neither do the Democrats. None of that matters in Christ, in church, because we are all brethren. Brethren. So what happens is, because that doesn't matter, the only thing that matters is faith working in love, not faith standing still, not faith sitting at home. Our faith is not unemployed. Our faith is not collected in welfare. Our faith is employed. Employed. It's working in what? In love. But that's the thing. In the church, I hate to say this, but we rarely see that. We rarely see that. And then we wonder why people don't want to be a part of this. They receive more love from the world than they do from us, because we don't even know how to love each other. So before we go looking for the lost, for those in the world, we need to look to each other and just see if we can love one another. Brethren, meaning you're not any better than me. You're not any worse than me. My grandma has this term called tinkaboo. Yeah, tinkaboo. She calls, I was like the first grandson technically, so she called me her tinkaboo. And I used to wear that thing proud, like on my chest, like I wanted a shirt. Tinkaboo. The one, the only, right? And then when we adopted my brothers and sisters, I started noticing that she would call them tinkaboo. And I'm like, well, hold on. There's only one tinkaboo. I'm the tinkaboo. They ain't been around long enough to be the Tinkaboo. Do you know how many times I passed up on going to my boy's house to chill with you, Grandma? How are they the Tinkaboo? I earned Tinkaboo. And I never forget, she told me, well, honey, they're all the Tinkaboo to me. You're not the only one. You were just the first, but they're all my Tinkaboos. So I'm looking at you saying, you know what? If we're really brethren, then I'm no better than you because I'm up here preaching. I'm no better than you because I read my Bible and I do all this. We're all God's Tinkaboos. Yeah. Facebook that right there. Yeah. For real, though, because if we start there and realize that there's no difference between you and I, then we can really start to look at this scripture the way it's meant to be looked at. He says in Galatians 5:13, Paul goes on to say this. He says, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's what we're called to do as brethren. So when he opens up Galatians 6:1 and says, brethren, that should mean something to you. That should hold something to you. It should make you like switch up everything you're doing. Because at this point, before I go talking about you, before I go backbiting you, before I go doing something I ain't got no business doing, I'm going to see you as my brother, my sibling, from the womb. The Greek literally means from the womb. We are born again Christians. Act like it. Act like it. Because the world is watching you. They're not reading the KJV or the NASB. They don't even know what translations are. They're looking at your translation. Your translation. They're reading the Rashad translation. So what am I saying in my love for my brethren? If we're honest, we should all be siblings. Because people should be able to look at us as Christians and want to be a part of that. It says make the gospel beautiful in the Bible. Make it something that is adorned in the Bible. That's what it says. But we got the gospel looking all jacked up. And that's what was going on here in Galatians. This was part of Paul's first missionary when he had witnessed to these brothers and many of them came to salvation from him. And when he went on, he had to write back to the church because people that came in there had came in amongst the brothers and started telling them, well, I understand that Christ died for your sins. I agree with that. But you still need to be circumcised as well. Paul writes and he says, Christ in anything is no gospel at all. Because at that point, I don't know how much I have to earn or how much I have to do to be saved. If you say that Christ is good, but you also have to be circumcised, then anybody can come along and add anything they want. They can say, hey, Christ died for your sins, Adam, but you got to put your left foot in, take your left foot out, put your left foot in and shake it all about and do the hokey pokey before you are saved. And then they can add more and more and more and more and more and more, and you truly have no rest ever. Where's the rest in that if I have to add something to Christ? So if you just start there and see each other as Christ died for your sins the same way he died for my sins, and if you accept him, you are his child the same way I'm his child, and nobody's better or more than anybody else, no matter how many works they do, then we're siblings. Then we're equal. Then we have the same worth in Christ. Then there's nothing to boast about. So if we start there, go back to Galatians 6:1. If we start there with the brethren, if we're being honest, we should be siblings. Then he says, even if anyone is caught in any trespass. Let's stop right there. Even if anyone of the brethren is caught in any trespass. Not just the spiritual ones that are on a platform, not just the ones who serve in this ministry or that ministry, and not just any sin. I mean, not just any one sin. He doesn't say only those who are caught in adultery, only those who are caught in homosexuality, only those who are caught in this and caught in that. He says any sin. At that point, you go back to this sameness. I can't look at you and judge you. I can't look at you and put you down. If I go back to saying we're siblings, and if we're being honest, we should all be sanctified. Now, that's a big word. Sanctification. What is that? I want to teach that real quick. That's a real big word, so just flow with me real quick here. Sanctification is a big word that means setting apart. All right? It simply means to set apart. It comes from the same word that we get saint from, which means set apart. It is something set apart. In the process of salvation, you have three stages of sanctification. The first stage is justification, meaning you are seen right in God's eyes. All right? In that case, you're set apart from the penalty of sin. The Bible says we're all sinners, and the price for sin is death, meaning there's a penalty for sin. So the first part of sanctification says this, that by believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been set apart from the penalty of sin. The second stage of sanctification is the stage that Christians who have believed in Christ as their Lord and Savior and are here right now, that's the stage you're in. It's when you're being set apart from the power of sin. And then the third stage is when we're in heaven and you're set apart from the presence of sin. Okay? So it's three stages. And right now, if you're a Christian, right here, you're fighting with the power. So he says right here, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, the Greek there really means overtake, right? Overtake. So anyone, from the window to the wall, if anyone is caught in any trespass, from the pulpit to the parking lot, no matter what, anybody in here can be overtaken by the power of sin. Stop looking at your brother or your sister in Christ and looking at them like that can't happen to you. That's what the scripture says. Even if anyone is overtaken by the power of sin, that's what we're wrestling with in this stage of sanctification, the power of sin. Yes, I'm saved. I'm justified. Right here, I've been separated from the penalty, but I'm still living this life, so I still fight this power. I still fight my flesh. I still fight the lust and the desires that want to overtake me. So when I fall, don't come on me and step on me while I'm down. Help me up. Because you could fall just as easily as me. It overtakes you. That means I'm not sitting here practicing it. I'm not waking up like, man, how can I lie to people today? No. It overtakes me. It's something that happens. It's an enticement of the devil, of the flesh, and it overtakes you. I was trying to think of how to illustrate that. Some of you weren't here for this, but the last time I wore this jersey, We have a brother who's not here right now, Justin Klinkerfuss. He's a nice, big correctional officer dude. We had just did a baptism, and he overtook me against my will and threw me in the baptismal. I couldn't fight it. I tried. He was bigger and stronger, and he threw me in. He actually did this like little lock on my wrist, and I couldn't get out. I'm strong. Don't give me. I don't want y'all to get that, misconstrued. I'm strong. But he did something to my wrist I couldn't get out, all right? but that's what it's like. Like, sin and your lust and your desires, they overtake you. In fact, it's like, look at that word, caught. It's like it sneaks up on you, right? Because as Christians, we're like, hey, but I'm saved. Yeah, but you're still in that process of fighting the power of sin. So if we're all honest, if we're being honest, we should be sanctified. Right? We should be sanctified, but we're not. So Paul looks at you and says, if anybody among you, any of your brothers, any of your sisters are caught or overtaken by any sin, you who are spiritual, you who are godly, you who are mature, that's who he's talking to. Well, here's the problem. What happens when nobody's spiritual? Nobody's mature. So if we're being honest, we should all be siblings, we should all be sanctified, but we should all be spiritual. Well, what does that mean, Rashad? Well, let's hop over to 1 Corinthians real quick. Take me to 1 Corinthians real quick. Right here, this one right here is going to look at this piece here, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. So once again, in Christ Jesus, in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that right there opens you up to the process, righteousness, sanctification, and division. And then he comes here and says, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So we're going to look at it from this set. When you're spiritual, you have the fruit of the Spirit. When you're spiritual, you're not looking to step on anybody. You're not looking to hurt anybody. When you're spiritual, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says this. Go to 1 Corinthians. Yeah, there we go. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual man, but as to man of flesh, as to infants in Christ. So look at this. Let's compare this here. spiritual man he said he couldn't speak to. He had to speak to the flesh of man as infants. You see that? So spiritual is mature. Flesh is infants. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're not saved. But he's looking at this and says, when I talk to you, I could not speak to you as spiritual man, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. So you're still saved, but you're at an infant level. Why? Because most of us think coming to church is good enough. I'm good. I come to church. I got this checklist of things, and I'm good. I'm better than this person and that person. I'm good. Yeah, but are you spiritual? Because the first time somebody offends you or sins against you, you go all into the flesh. And you wanna hurt people and you wanna get them back, and revenge is the only thing on your mind. But Paul says, you who are spiritual, and if we're being honest, we should all be spiritual. We should all be mature. I should be able to come in here and speak on the spiritual things, but sometimes we have to bring it down a level because after Sunday, nobody opened up their Bible anyway. Ouch. That, everybody say ouch, because I said ouch too. Yeah, that hurt me too. So he goes on to say this. He goes on to the next verse. Keep going. He says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you're infants in Christ. For you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. So he's like, when I was with you, Corinthians, you were not spiritually mature. You were infants. You were fleshly. So I gave you milk because you weren't ready for steak. Everybody comes and they want steak, but you ain't got teeth to chew. So we feed milk first, and he goes on and he says, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you. So he identifies what made them fleshly. Jealousy and strife. Contention. Division. Sound like today's church? But if we're being honest, we should all be spiritual. But yet we're right here with the Corinthians. Jealousy and strife. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not still fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? Like when I read that, I'm like, man, I'm supposed to be a superhero. Dun, 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 dun. Shod. But I'm walking like mere men. In other words, I look no different than the world. Once again, how am I trying to invite people into his holiness, into his presence, into his church when I look just like the world? I look no different than the world. Because see, here's the thing. The church is filled up with people. So whether it's work, whether it's the gym, whether it's here, it's people. There's going to be brokenness. There's going to be things that hurt you. There's going to be things that bring you down. The question is, how do you, who are supposed to be spiritual, respond? That's what makes us different. If I'm in my workplace and me and my coworker who's not saved or not a believer both miss our check, I want to respond different. If we're both offended by something that was said at the workplace, I'm going to respond different. I'm going to respond spiritual. I'm going to respond spiritual. Because that's what's going to invite people in. That's what's going to want people to be a part of this. But when I respond just like them, then I'm going to get the same response that I always get. I can do that by myself. Y'all heard that term? I can do bad by myself. Yeah. I can do that by myself. I don't need church people and church folk to feel isolated. I don't need church people and church folk to feel like I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough. I can do that in the world. Why do I want to come to church, wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning to spend time with people who are just going to bring me down even more? Brethren. So he goes on, he says, for when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not mere men? Meaning, when you start doing this divisive stuff, I don't care who's preaching up here. If he's preaching God's word, it's God's word, right? Right? So, like, I don't want to hear, oh, I'm there when Rashad's there, but if somebody else comes in, I don't know if I'm coming to church. It ain't got nothing to do with Rashad. You putting me in a place I don't want to be. That's division. It's the same thing in every other area of our life. Oh, I'm of this, I'm of that. Like, all of you should be 49ers fans. That's how it should be. But y'all divided. You see, So he goes on. We're still talking about the spiritual then. He says, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one, right? Keep going. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. In other words, all you spiritual people, you ain't got nothing to do with what God is doing. You can plant, you can water, you cannot cause the growth. Think about that. So you who are spiritual, you who want to look down on the Christian that is not where you're at yet, or the one who just started believing, you're not where you are because of you. You're where you are because of God. The growth that happened in you, that was God. That was God. That was not you. So if you just start right there, if you just say, okay, this is my brother in Christ, my sibling, and technically we all should be sanctified, so if he falls, I know I'm falling too. Well then, as a spiritual brother, as a spiritual sister in Christ, that becomes my question. Like, what makes you think you got to where you are by what you did? Is that not the gospel, that you didn't do anything? So if we're being honest, we should be siblings. If we're being honest, we should all be sanctified. So when somebody falls, don't knock them. And if we're being honest, we should all be spiritual. Let's go back to Galatians 6:1. So then he says, you who are supposed to be spiritual, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore, not beat down. Restore. If we're being honest, we should all be strengthening one another. But that's not what we're doing. We look more like Galatians 5:14 in the context. Once again, this is why he's talking about this. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So in this context, you're looking at like let me think of something, a lion and a tiger and a bear, oh my, whatever. But like you're looking at this fight here, and he's saying, but if you bite and devour, not bite and prick, not bite and sting, but bite and consume and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. He said, you won't lose your Christianity. You won't lose your salvation, but you will lose all joy. You won't want to be in this church. And that's what happens. You get the biting, you get the picking, you get the devouring one another because nobody wants to be spiritual and handle it like a spiritual person would. And next thing you know, we're consumed, and neither one of us are in the church. I'm not coming because he's there. I'm not coming because she's there. This is why people don't come to church. They believe and don't want to be here because we bite and we devour. It's not just in what we say. It's in our actions. So, like, you're supposed to be strengthening. Before you tell me about me in a negative way, tell me about me in a positive way. Strengthen me. Because you know what? If I have fallen, I need mending. The word for restore there is equivalent to like if you break a bone and it has to be mended. It has to be strengthened back, right? And if we're all a part of the same body, if I'm hurting, you should be hurting with me. Not judging me. Not putting me down. Hold me accountable. Don't get me wrong. But restore me. Strengthen me. Why can't we do that? What makes us not able to do that? It's pride. It's because I'm better than you. It's because you're beneath me. It's because you don't agree with what I agree with, and therefore I can't meet you where you're at. It's like when you come through the door and it's your first time, I will meet you where you're at. But after you've been here for a year and I really get to know what's going on in your life, I won't strengthen you no more. And that right there is why people will not give and take their burdens. I don't want to share my burdens with you because you're not going to help me restore. I don't want to tell you how I feel because you're just going to go talk about me. I don't want to tell you what I'm struggling with because instead of restoring me, you're just going to put me down, judge me, or make the burden even heavier. I'm coming to you to share my burden. If you look at the scriptures, when I share my burden with you, that's a gift. I'm handing you a gift. This is my burden. I'm giving you an opportunity to let God use you for comforting me. That's a gift. If I give you my burden, if I lay down my burden at your feet, if I do what the song says and come as I am, you're supposed to restore me, brother. You're supposed to restore me, sister, mother. But that's not what we see. So what happens is we isolate ourselves, which is what the devil wants. And we try to do it on our own until we break. Before we were just falling and sore and hurt. It was a fracture. But when we stand alone, we break it. And that's what we're allowing to happen in the church. Because we won't consider that we're supposed to be siblings. We're supposed to be sanctified, spiritual, and strengthening. Back to Galatians 6:1. So he says, restore such a one. Such a one is anybody that's caught, anybody that is caught in any trespass. Restore them in what? In a spirit of gentleness. That's like being sensitive. Like whenever I get like a paper cut, I'm like, Brittany, be gentle. Ow. Like, be very careful. Like, y'all know paper cuts are the worst, right? Like, you could shoot me in the arm and I'd be like, I'll deal with it. But the paper cut. Brittany, be gentle. But that's the thing. Some of us can't even be gentle with a paper cut, let alone a gunshot. That spirit of gentleness, let me tell you something about that. That's a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's something that should be residing in you if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, I'm not telling you to figure out your gentleness, to figure out how to make it happen. I'm saying if the Holy Spirit resides in you, it should be a result of Him residing in you. So we look at it, and Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is this. Look at this. If the Holy Spirit is residing in you, this is some things that you should start seeing in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Keep going. Gentleness, self-control. Like, if God is residing in you, it's not you who are doing these things. It is His Spirit that is doing these things through you. Once again, you cannot boast. The way God set it up, I can't look at you and say, man, Zach, I'm more faithful than you. Man, Darius, I'm more gentle than you. No. This is a result of the Spirit working in you. And remember, you're in that stage where you're fighting the power of sin, so you're going to go back and forth, and you're going to struggle, but at least struggle. Some of y'all just laying down. So if we're being honest, we should be sensitive when we're restoring people. Some of you are like, well, I do restore people. I'm like, yeah, but with no sensitivity. You ever been at the doctor and you're like, this hurts, and they like, yeah. Did that hurt? I'm like, yeah, that hurt, man. Like, that's what we're doing. Somebody comes to you and they're like, hey, brother, sister, Brandon, this hurts. And you're like, did that hurt? I'm like, yes, I just said this hurts. It's broken. It's not doing good. And you're smacking my hand. And I'm like, I just told you I'm hurting. So restore me gently. Gently. Understanding that I'm your brother. And that you yourself should be sanctified just like me. You should be spiritual. You should be strengthening. And you should be sensitive. So let's go back to Galatians 6:1. I'm going to close this out here. He says, this is how you do it. You restore people who are caught in any trespass. With a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. And this right here, honestly, I would have preferred to preach it backwards. Because if you just start right there, if you just start by looking at yourself, looking at your filth, looking at where you come from, looking at what you did last night or last week or how you talked to somebody the other day, then you ain't got nothing to say to anybody anyway. Like, just start right there. Just humble yourself before you speak to somebody and think about who you are. If I just start right there, then I'm going to be very sensitive. Because I wouldn't want you calling me out on the things that I haven't had the faith to share with you. See, that's the thing. People will take all the burdens in the world, right? But they won't share nothing because they're scared of how somebody will react to them. Well, if you just start there and realize that for this person to get to a place to share with you, and you yourself can't even share your burdens, just look at yourself. Why can't you share that burden? There's a reason you can't share it. You're ashamed of it. You know what it really is. So if you just look in the mirror for one moment before you respond, before you judge, before you do anything, it will change the interaction. You see, when I'm up here preaching, I'm preaching across the table. I am never looking, well, physically I might be looking down, but literally I'm like here, okay? Like, this is how I'm talking to you. Because my past reminds me that anybody out here who's hurting, I'm not judging you. Anybody out here who's fallen, who's been overtaken by sin, I'm not judging you. And this is where the gospel comes in for anybody in this room right now who hasn't received Christ. You see, I don't look at you as a non-believer and say I'm better than you. Because honestly, outside of Christ, I'm no different than you. I'm probably worse as the pastor. And if I start there, that's what makes me cry out to you. Because when I hear the words of something like come as you are, I get that. I get it doesn't mean I can wear and preach in a football jersey. It means I can come to church as an adulteress, as an alcoholic, as a former drug addict. I can come to church like that. I can come exactly how I am, because if people are being spiritual and strengthening and restoring like they should be, then they should look in the mirror first, self-examine themselves, and say, you know what, sister, you know what, brother? I don't care about your past or what it's been, because I've been there. Because when God looks at it, he sees sin. Not a name, not a qualification, not a class, but sin. So where you're hurting and where you need Christ, I need him every single day. I don't care how many posts I put on Facebook. I don't care how many scriptures I have memorized. It doesn't make me any better than anybody in this room, saved or unsaved. The only thing that gives me any hope or any assurance is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's it. So don't let those Bible-thumping people out there represent all of Christianity. I'm here to tell you, I don't care how many Master of Divinity degrees they have. They're not better than you. It's Christ. And he's better than all of us. And that's why we call on him. And that's why we reach out to him. And that's why we put our trust, our hope, and our joy in him. So I want friends who are here who are not believers to become family. I want friends who are here who are struggling with what church is and all of the religious stuff to jump into relationship. I get it. That's why I ran from the church. Because it was all these things about what I was doing wrong, and nobody was trying to mend me, restore me, help me, strengthen me. And then when I walked into church, I saw that they couldn't even do it with each other. So I didn't want to be a part of the church. So I'm asking us to make that change now. There are members of Church on the Rock right here today who can make that change now. Maybe you're here from your church. Go back to your church and make that change now. Be the example so others catch on. And if you're here and you have no church home, or you're not a believer and you don't have that relationship, if we're being honest, we all need each other. I'm telling you right now, this world is crazy. This world is fallen, and the people in it, including myself, are fallen people. The only thing that has me here right now is the grace and mercy and love of God, who through his son and his son in his willingness looked at my sins and restored me gently, saw me a sinner and thought it enough to die for me. There's your example. If you're a Christian, die for your brother. Die to what? Die to yourself, for your brother, for your sister, for that non-believer who you've invited. Die. Get rid of all those things and you'll stop being called the hypocrite, because you'll start looking more like him and less like you. I thank you all for being here, and I mean this. Right now, if we're being honest, we all need Christ this morning. Doesn't matter how you walked in that door. Doesn't matter where you are. We all need Christ this morning. So I'm asking, if you don't have that relationship, I'm in the back. You can come speak with me. We can pray. We can talk more. If you have something against your brother or sister that you've been holding on to, reach out to them and be spiritual and be sensitive and restore that relationship. It's a give and take thing. And that's where we are this morning. Amen? Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.